Looking at 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2, and it starts out, I call this the final words. The final words. The Old Testament records the last words of a few men up to this point. It records the final words of Jacob in Genesis 49. It records the final words of Moses in Deuteronomy 33. It records the final words of Joshua. I'm going to read actually some of the final words of Joshua. It says here in Joshua chapter 23 and verse 2, and Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders, for their heads, for their judges, for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age, and ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you, for the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. And at the end of some of this talk, it goes into Joshua 23. Many of us know some of the passages. We've preached on them in Joshua 23 and 24. But in verse 14, this is interesting to me. In Joshua 23:14, it says, and behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. All the earth. And so here we come to 1 Kings chapter 2. And in verse 1, it says, now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon, his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And so this morning, we're going to consider the final words of King David to Solomon. And because it's recorded for us in the Word of God preserved for us, it's not just the final words for Solomon. These are words for us today, as we've been going through our passages, reading in Scripture. We read this past week. And so we're going to look at the final words of King David, and hopefully it can be a challenge to us. Heavenly Father, this morning as we look at these words, I pray that you would instruct us through the words of God. We know that no Scripture, Lord, is just by chance. All Scripture is given by inspiration, and it is profitable. I pray that being at church today, this morning, would be profitable for us. I pray that the instruction that is given, the doctrine, Lord, the words that we hear would help us to become stronger Christians. Lord, that we'd be better because of being at church. I pray that you would help us. As always, Lord, I ask you to do that which I cannot do, and that is speak to hearts. We ask and claim your power. In Jesus' name, amen. So it says here in 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 2, notice what it says, I go the way of all the earth. Before we get into our thoughts for this morning, and we basically, I think, have just two points this morning. I can't remember if it is or not, but we gave you the outline. We'll get into the outline. But kind of as an introduction, this phrase in verse 2, it says, I go the way of all the earth. So I'd like us to consider that as an introduction. This phrase is important for us to remember in this life. There's an idea, and we're seeing this played out here over the last few weeks, and the idea is that we can beat death. There is something that is in man that says, I have the ability in myself to beat death. No, there is only one that has beaten physical death, and that is Jesus Christ. We celebrated his resurrection 2 weeks ago. However, the Bible is saying we all must go the way of all men. Notice what it says, I go the way of all the earth. Did you notice that phrase, all? Yes, that phrase is used a few times in the Bible. It is used over 5,600 times, and we're going to look at all of those this morning. No, I'm just kidding. All right, take heart. We're only going to look at a couple of them as introduction. One of the first times that this idea of all is presented is in Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2 and 3, it says, and on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. That is one of the first times in the Bible, Genesis chapter 2, that the idea of all, completion, or nothing is missed. And we're going to tie that into two things, thinking about this kind of in response to what we just read in 1 Kings chapter 2. I go the way of all the earth. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, in Job chapter 34 and verse 15, it says, all flesh shall perish together, and man shall turn again unto dust. Psalm 9 and verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Psalm 14 and verse 3, they are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Romans chapter 3 and verse 9, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no way and wise. For we have both before proved, both Jew and Gentile, that they are all under sin. Romans 3 and verse 12, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. It seems like a quote from Psalm chapter 9. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Galatians 3:22, but the scripture hath concluded, all under sin. What is my point as we start out thinking about all? There is no place in scripture. And you can go around and you can grab philosophy, you can grab the world's idea, but the Bible clearly describes it and clearly expresses that all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we must understand that as human beings, as Christians coming into this world, or as just human beings being born into this world. All are born in sin, but praise the Lord, that's not the only all that is included in Scripture. Romans 5:18 says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon, guess what? All men unto justification of life. 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Praise the Lord. That's not the only all. It's not that we're just sinners. The other all is that we can all be saved through Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14 says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Let me illustrate this point to you by a story from way back in the 80s. In January of 1985, out at LAX in Los Angeles, the airport, there was a large suitcase, unmarked and unclaimed, and it was discovered at the customs office of LAX. When the U.S. Customs opened the suitcase, think about this, they opened the suitcase, they found the curled up body of an unidentified young woman. She had been dead when they called the coroner in. The coroner, he discovered that this young lady had been dead for days. As the investigation continued, it was learned that the woman was the wife of a young Iranian man living in the U.S. there in the L.A. area, and they were unable to obtain a visa to enter the U.S. And so she wanted to get to the U.S. to join her husband. So she took matters into her own hands, never telling her husband about it. She came up with the idea of smuggling herself into America via America's or airplane cargo bay. The problem, though, would have been, even if she would have succeeded in making it to the U.S. alive, she would have still been an illegal immigrant. Now, I use that as an illustration as we begin this idea of all. I go the way of all the earth. Some people think that they can cheat the system. They think that, hey, there's another way. And all over America and all over the world, even today, there are folks that are meeting and they're maybe discussing scripture. There's folks that probably this week talked about God in some way, and they think that they're going to figure out another way to get to heaven. They're going to figure out something else than that they all have sinned. And this is what I can tell you, just like that young lady. Even if she would have accomplished getting into the U.S., she still would have been wrong. And so it is true for us. If we do not come through Jesus Christ, there is no other way but Jesus Christ to get into heaven. So let's get back to our text, and we're going to look at two ideas this morning from verses 2, 3, and 4, and we will cover down to verse 9, but just verses 2 through 9. So let's read verses 2, 3, and 4. This is our first point. I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper and all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart, with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. We have 2 points in verses 2, 3, and 4. We have the first point, and that is keep God first, and then in verse 5, the second point is to keep guard on your kingdom. So here's King David, and he's handing off the kingdom to his son Solomon, and he gives him basically two thoughts. Keep God first, and keep guard on thy kingdom. So in verse 2, 3, and 4, we have the idea that we need to keep God first. And it's interesting, you can kind of divide that into 3 ideas. So we have 3 ideas about keeping God first. First of all, it says, be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. The idea of that is that he would be a man of character. And what's interesting is Solomon, I think, gained some of that. We know that there were some failures in the way of women that the Bible tells us later in the book of 1 Kings. And so he had some failure there, but we have read, almost all of us have read, often the book of Proverbs. And in the book of Proverbs, what is the instruction? To have integrity, to have wisdom, to seek God's way. And so I believe that Solomon gained, or at least he understood what David was trying to get across to Solomon, and that is, first of all, if we're gonna keep God first, we must take responsibility. Learn to become mature in your life as a Christian. We live in a Sissified culture. We whine about everything. We can't handle a virus without quaking in fear of death. And I'm glad that our nation was founded with the men and women that we don't have today. Otherwise, I don't think there would have been an Iwo Jima. I don't think there would have been a revolution. They would have been crying like little babies, if anybody would have suggested a tea party. I'm so glad that we have a nation that we can look back on, and we can look back in history, and we can see people that took responsibility. And as Christians here this morning, I challenge you, as King David challenged Solomon, you need to keep God first, and one of it is take responsibility. Take responsibility for your life. Take responsibility for your Christianity and the growth in your life. As I said, I'm glad that our nation was not founded with the men and women that we have today. Otherwise, I think we'd be speaking German or Dutch or some other foreign language, and we wouldn't be practicing as Baptists today. But we have a heritage, and the heritage goes back to some people that kept God first. As Christians, we can look back at that, and one of the reasons is that they took responsibility. Secondly, you see, in verse 3, It says, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. So if I'm going to keep God first, I take responsibility. That means I put some character in place so that I'm learning about God. I'm studying it. And so, notice what it says. It says that you've got to know these things. You've got to know the commandments, know the judgments, know his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses. You know what that means? If I'm going to keep God first, take responsibility, but secondly, be informed. This means to read, study, learn the Bible. I was reading this week about a pastor that was sitting in a Starbucks or sitting at a Dunkin' Donuts or sitting somewhere, and it was a college town. And the person that was serving behind the counter, he had had a conversation with them, and they were a Christian. And he got his drink or he got whatever, and he moved aside, and he was sitting down. And as he was sitting there, somebody came in, and the next person got into conversation about Christianity with the person that said they were a Christian that was serving. And the man sitting off to the side that was a minister said, we've got to do something, because he said as he listened to this man who is basically an atheist, did not believe in religion, he said he took that person that called themselves a Christian that was studying in a university and wrapped them up and spit them out because they didn't have a clue about what the Bible says. And the minister was writing an article, and this is what he's saying. What is wrong with us as a society that we have become so fluffy and so filled with entertainment that we're scared to death of doctrine? Be informed. Get in God's book, even during this time. How much time have you spent studying his word and saying, what does God say about this? What does God say for me? What does he have for me? It is sad in our society that Christians who claim the Bible Christianity have no clue about what the Bible says. Be informed. This means read, study, learn the Bible. Just don't rely on Sundays for your learning. Pick up the book during the week. Dig into a topic and learn something from the Lord to help you in your daily life. There's a funny story that I read yesterday, and I think it has something to do with this point, but it was just really funny, so I had to include it at this juncture. This was many years ago in Cambridge University. If you know Cambridge University, it's pretty prestigious, and it's in London area. It's in Cambridge, all right, Cambridge, England. And so it came down, and this was many years ago, it came down to the time for final exams. And so on exam day, a young man came into the classroom, and he came up to the professor, to the teacher. Now, at that time, they would call the professor, I think, the provost or something like that. So they came up to the teacher, this young man, at the exam time, and he laid down a request in an official document, and he said, before I take my exam, I would like some cake and ale. Now, the professor, the teacher, refused and told him to sit down and expressed astonishment at the audacity of the student with his demands. At this point, the student pulled out the 400-year-old laws of Cambridge University, which were written in Latin. And in this section, it read this: gentlemen sitting for examinations may request and require cake and ale. So the teacher was forced to comply, and so they determined that they weren't going to give cake and ale. They went 400 years later, and so they went and they gave them Pepsi and hamburgers. And they judged that was a modern equivalent. So they said, yes, the law has said this, so it had to be done. 3 weeks later, this young man was summoned to the Office of Academic Affairs to face disciplinary action, and he was assessed a fine of £5. No, not for demanding cake and ale, but for disregarding another obscure Cambridge law in the books. This is what it said. When coming for examination, a gentleman must be attired with a sword at the examination. Now, what happened was this young man thought he was cute, and he went back and he learned some of the law. But guess what he didn't do? He didn't study all of it. He didn't study all of it, and so he got taken to school, literally. And this is what we've got to understand. You may be able to go and study just a little bit and find some obscure reason why you can get away with your sin. But listen to this, and let's be true to the Word of God. The Word of God never allows sin and never is gracious as far as giving us the ability to let sin run in our lives. Be informed about what God wants for you and what God wants in your life. Be informed. The third thing that it says in this passage, notice what it says in verse 3 again. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments. Notice that word, keep. It's keep, and notice the next word, walk. So what is the Bible telling us? The Bible is telling us this. If I'm gonna be successful, and that's what was happening with King David as he was passing on to Solomon. He was saying, I want you to carry on a legacy here. And I believe God wants us to carry on a legacy for him. While we're here on this earth, there's work for us to do. And so God gives us a charge. And what was the charge? Keep God first. How do we do that? Well, take responsibility. We saw that in verse 2. Secondly, be informed. Know the book. Know the good book. Then thirdly, walk obediently. It's not just enough to say that we're going to take responsibility. It's not just enough to pick up the good old book and know our responsibility. We must be proactive and not passive in our obedience. Church folks, let's learn to keep the charge of the Lord our God. The word keep here gives the idea of preserving, guarding, maintaining in a way that is urgent. The idea of keeping is not complacent. It's something that we're intense about. Notice the phrase, the Lord your God. He was telling us that this is something that must become personal to us. And we must walk obediently if we are gonna keep God first. Notice then, secondly, in our passage, and I thought this was interesting, and I believe this is true for us, if we are gonna follow this charge that King David gave to his son Solomon. Yes, he needed to keep God first, but notice in verse 5, he gives him some instruction or some warnings here. He says, moreover, thou knowest also what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, what he did to the two captains of the host of Israel, unto Abner. And he gives them what he did. And notice in verse 6, do therefore according to thy wisdom, and let not his hoarhead go down to the grave in peace. You know what he's telling them? And notice down in verse 8, he says, and behold, thou hast with thee Shimei, the son of Gera, Benjamite, which cursed me with a grievous curse in the day when I went to Mahanaim. Notice what he says in verse, but he came down to meet me at Jordan, and I swear to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put thee to death with the sword. Now look at verse 9. Now therefore, hold him not guiltless, for thou art a wise man and knowest what thou hast to do unto him. And notice the same phrase. But his hoarhead bring thou down to the grave with blood. You know what King David was telling Solomon? There's some guys that you need to be careful of. So secondly, in this charge. He says, first, keep God first. But secondly, he says, keep guard on thy kingdom. Why? Because there's some foes. They're going to try to get you, or they're going to try to steer you wrong. And there's enemies that are out there. And this is what I can tell you as a Christian. And I think we're seeing this not just now. This has been for the history of Christendom. We can go back to right after the time of Christ. And every one of Christ's disciples, they were either martyred or they died soon afterwards for the cause of Christ. Why? Because right away, they were saying, who is this Jesus? Who is this Messiah? Remember Stephen in Acts chapter 6 and Acts chapter 7. What do we see about Stephen? Stephen was chosen because he was a man full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. And this man came out boldly preaching and teaching. And guess what happened to the religious crowd? The religious crowd was convicted and they were cut to their heart. And they grabbed a hold of Stephen and they couldn't shut Stephen down. He preached the word, and he preached it boldly, and he preached that they were a bunch of hypocrites that crucified Jesus Christ and that their sorry souls needed a Savior. And today, that's what we need again. We need to be bold and understand that there are foes to this kingdom of God, foes that want to pull it down, foes that want to squash the message of Jesus Christ. They don't mind talking about a God. They don't mind talking about a bunch of gods. But when you come to the God, and then you start honing in and saying the way to the God is through Jesus Christ, the Savior, you know what happens? They don't like it. They don't like it. They don't like hearing that there's only a way through Jesus Christ. They like thinking that there's a way through themselves. But we go back to what King David said. He says, I go the way of all the earth. What is the Bible telling us? The Bible's saying that at some point, you're going to face death. And as a Christian, we're going to face death. But as Christians, I challenge you. Will you face it differently than the world? I pray so. I pray that when we come up to death's door, that it can be said like the psalmist here, King David, as he was coming up to this time, it should be that we could go back to that blessed psalm of Psalm 23. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That should be our prayer and that should be our desire. As King David came to the end of his life, he wanted to give a challenge to his son. And the challenge was pretty simple. It was keep God first. What is that? Well, take responsibility. Be informed. Walk obediently. But then we see that he says, keep guard on thy kingdom. You notice what we said is that there's some foes, and we saw that in verse 5 and 6, verse 8 and 9. But notice, right in the middle is verse 7. But show kindness unto the sons of Barzillai, the Gileadite. Let them be of those that eat at thy table, for so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom thy brother. You know, also in this life, you're going to find some friends of the kingdom. I believe those friends sometimes can be right here, sitting socially distanced apart in your cars. And you know what you'll find? Friends of the kingdom. Don't take them lightly. Don't take them lightly. There are those that come alongside and they support you and they help you. Don't forget them. Don't forget and maybe bring in and helping them in their time of need. Show kindness unto the sons of Barzillai. Let them be of those that eat at thy table. For so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom thy brother. I think it's instructive to us that in this life, in serving our king, don't be a foe. Learn to be a friend of the kingdom. Learn to be a friend of those that are trying to promote the kingdom. when somebody is having a tough time, when somebody is having a hard time, come alongside them. And then if they do come alongside you, don't forget their kindness. Here we have in our text, we're told David's last words. And as we close, I'd like to consider the final words that are left here. Notice what it says in verse 10. I think it starts in verse 2, I go the way of all the earth. But notice in verse 10, and I think, again, it's scripture. It's here for us. It's here for us to help us. Notice what it says. So David, what is the word? Slept with his fathers. Oh, that word slept is there for a reason. I touch on, again, the hope that we have in Christ. That word slept means that Jesus Christ is our Savior. And if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior here this morning, I challenge you, when the service is over, I'll be right up here. You come and find us. If you know of somebody, you came with somebody, I challenge you, sit down with them and find out, because here in this passage, it provides us hope at the end. Why? Because he's going the way of all the earth, but he slept with his fathers. You know why? Because in Christ, we sleep because we have eternal life. That means it's just a temporary thing. It's just temporary. Jesus Christ, as my Savior, I don't have to fear death. Through Christ, that death has been conquered. And this word slept is used, reminding us that there is a Beulah land that we are longing for. But I'd like to challenge us that are Christians that know Christ as our Savior. The challenge of King David is here for you today to apply to your spiritual life. Have you kept God first? Have you taken responsibility for your life? I'm not talking about this day and age. All it is, and that's why I say again, be strong. It's saying, act like a man. And what does that mean? Take responsibility. Learn to be mature. You may have had some tough times in the past, and somebody may have done you wrong. And so have all of us had that. But take responsibility. It's not anybody else's fault that you're a weak Christian. It's your fault. Take responsibility. Be informed. Get in God's book and study it. Study it like it means something. Something extra special. And then walk obediently. And then are you putting those things in place to keep him first? And are you guarding your kingdom from the foes that want to take it down? I listed on the outline a poem. It's a section of a poem by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, entitled Success. It says, we have not wings, we cannot soar, but we have feet to scale and climb, by slow degrees, by more and more, the cloudy summits of our time. The mighty pyramids of stone that wedge-like cleave the desert airs, when nearest seen and better known are but gigantic flight of stairs. The distant mountains that uprear their solid bastions of the skies are crossed by pathways that appear as we to higher levels rise. The heights by great men reached and kept were not attained by sudden flight, but they, while their companions slept, were toiling upward in the night. What is my challenge to you as Christians here this morning, as members of Fairhaven Baptist Church, as we're coming in, we're hopefully finishing up a time, but I don't think it's over. There's a hatred towards Christianity. There's a hatred towards God. But guess what? That's not unusual. That was during the time of Christ. Don't think it odd. Don't think it unusual that men hate Christ or hate the cause of Christ. But what is David telling us? Be strong. Be a man. Be mature. Keep God first and guard your kingdom. Why? Because someday you will go the way of all the earth as a Christian, and you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And will you be able to answer to Jesus Christ that you have taken what God has given you, even if it is a one talent? Have you taken that one talent and buried it? Or have you gone and taken and invested it? And you can bring back to your Savior more than He gave you. May it be that as Christians here this morning, God will find us faithful. And He can say, well done. It may be that as a Christian or as an unsaved person here this morning, you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. My warning to you is, as King David said, you will go the way of all the earth. But you do not have to fear that. You do not have to fear that if you understand that as one by one man, death came upon all, and so by the death of another man, Jesus Christ, we all can have salvation. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, please see one of us. I'll be down here at the end of the morning service. Maybe you came with somebody. Talk to somebody about your soul. You do not have to fear death. Just a moment. The piano will play softly through an invitation hymn. And I would ask you, as they play through a couple of stanzas of an invitation hymn, as Christians here this morning, King David's challenge, and it's in Scripture for you and I. It's not in Scripture for us to forsake it. It's not in Scripture because, oh, that was for Solomon. It's in Scripture so that you and I will take notice of it and we will do something about it. Have you gotten away from keeping God first? It's your responsibility. It's your job to be informed. It's your job to walk obediently. And if you have been lax in that area, in the quietness of your car, would you not bow and ask the Lord to help you to go back to keeping Him first? And then secondly, have you been keeping guard of your kingdom? Oh, there's foes that are out there want to pull down the kingdom of God in your life and the kingdom of God around us. Have you been watching out? Have you been fighting them ferociously? But then also, there's some friends. And maybe you have been taking those friends for granted. You have taken their kindness as something that you deserve and you haven't responded appropriately. May God help us to make those decisions. As the piano